Good morning, everybody. You're welcome, especially obviously if you're a guest that's returning, you're more than welcome. The last few weeks since New Year, I've been the word that is really heavy is seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. And that's what we're called to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Seek first His kingdom. Everything else, it says, all these things will be given unto you. Everything else will fall into place if we get that priority number one. Okay, and all these things that will be given, it's everything we need on a daily basis, on a daily requirement, it will be given. But there are many, many, many other things that will come from God if we're willing to receive His gifts. His gifts are there in abundance for us. He's willing to give them. And so this year I've been encouraging everybody to refocus. And that phrase, break up your fallow ground, open it up, right up. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds to receive from God. And what we're going to receive are good gifts. God only gives good gifts. In James 1:17 it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Whatever we think about, we think, oh, I've done this, I've done that. No, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And the word today is just receive the gifts of God. Receive the gifts of God. And we receive so many things. It's amazing. First and foremost, that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. Number one. That's what we get. It's fantastic. Believe in Him. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Peace. We've been singing about peace. Peace and joy. Righteousness, peace and joy we've been talking about. Peace, joy, righteousness, holiness comes through Jesus, not through what we do. Salvation is the gift that we get from it. We have life to the full, abundant life. Jesus promises that now, once we get abundant life. Grace and mercy are in abundance. They're poured out from God. Forgiveness. Don't know about you, I want forgiveness every day. And one of the most precious things is that gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we can be equipped, empowered, and fully receive and fully dwell and walk by faith, not by sight, as we've been hearing. But I was reminded this week, in order to receive a gift, it was actually Steve mentioned it at the men's Bible study, in order to receive a gift, you must have an open hand. You cannot have a closed hand. You cannot receive a gift if your hand's closed. Now, I don't physically mean we've got to walk around like this all the time. Well, you can if you want. You can if you want to. That's all right. But it's here. This is what needs to be open. And here. Our hearts and our minds. So we've got to open them up, break up our fallow ground, seek first His kingdom, and have that broken and contrite heart that the Lord wants us, that He desires. And in order to do that, there's a few things we have been encouraging us to do. Number one, cleanse yourself. Now, we don't cleanse ourselves. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We know that. But we get dirty on a daily basis. On our walk through life, we pick up things, we pick up attitudes, we see things on the news. We see things that think, oh, that's not really very nice. And we need to wash them off. Right? It's not physically washing them off, it's washing them off inside. We need to come back, forgive and be forgiven, repent, purify our heart. Because we are washed by the blood of Jesus. And that he does that again and again and again. But we've got to make that conscious effort to come back to Him. And this, dwell in the Word. It really is life-changing. In fact, I'll come on to that a little bit on that later. But dwell in the Word. It says in here, it's so many things. It's a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. It gives us counsel. It guides. It inspires. It encourages. It's truth. It's wisdom. It is eternal. It lasts forever. Lasts forever. Right? It gives us hope. It keeps us blameless. It is eternal. Right? I'll say that again. It is eternal. It never ends. It corrects. It rebukes. It teaches. It does all those things. So if it does all those things, why don't we read it more often? I'm saying this to myself. You know, I'm now in a position where I can read more. But I want to read more and more and more. There are times when the counsel, the wisdom comes from there. I'm just going back through Proverbs again. And just the one-liners are fantastic. Yeah? The one-liners, that they're just boom, shells of wisdom that hit you and think, oh, yes, thank you, God. Right? It's worth looking at. Praise. We're called to give a sacrifice of praise. Right? Worship him in spirit and truth. Worship the Lord our God. Praise his holy name. That'll break up your fallow ground. It really will. If you can praise, and there are times when we don't feel like it. Something heavy drags us down. But if you start, it's a bit like a little fire. It starts with a small spark. It gets bigger and bigger. Until in the end, you're dancing around the room. Right? And you feel silly. But nobody's there to watch. And if they are, so what? Doesn't matter. Right? But praise God as much as you possibly can. Right? In amongst the prayer, which is the other thing. Pray. Pray like never before. Pray like your life depends on it. Because it probably does. Right? Pray always. And the word tells us to pray fervently, to pray earnestly, pray with belief, pray in the will of God, pray in the name of Jesus. Right? Pray, because he's there interceding for us. Right? And prayer will avail, i.e. will happen. It will succeed. It will cause things to happen in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual, and in the physical, if you persist. And the example we used was that widow who pestered the judge so much so that he actually did what she wanted, not because of anything else other than pestering and really pushing. Because the word tells us to knock, and it will be given. Right? To ask, and it will be... Knock and the door will be open. That's what I'm trying to say. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Okay. And in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. Are you doing it with all your heart? That's why I ask myself. Is it really all my heart? James 4... 7 and 8, it tells us to submit to God. Submit to God. Totally submit to God. But he says, submit to God. Resist the devil. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. God is really, really near to us. Always. But we've just got to receive that. Deuteronomy 4, 7, it says, the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. Okay? Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him, call on him while he is near. He is near. He's here to be heard. Philippians 4, 5 says, the Lord is near. Just simple, straightforward. One sentence. The Lord is near. Right. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Right. He's very near. God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Right. He knows everything. We've already heard. He knows all about us. Every single thing. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's all powerful. All powerful. I can't imagine that, all powerful. You think of some of our world leaders in China and Russia, America, UK, all powerful? No, they're not. Not compared to our God. Not compared to that. And through his spirit, all these things, the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, is available for all of us. Okay. James 4, 7, it continues. He said... tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, come near to God and he will come near to you. But we've got to do a couple of things. We've got to wash our hands, wash it all off, anything that's not there, and purify our hearts. Right? And if we do that and concentrate on two other things that Jesus said, he said two things. First one we've already mentioned is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. That's all we have to do. Second thing, he said, number two, love your neighbour as yourself. Right? Love your neighbour. Do good. Help people. If it's within your power, do good. Titus 3, 1 and 2 says, be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. So we've got to watch that. Right? Be peaceable, right? And considerate, and show true humility towards all men, not just to some, but to all men. And in verse 8, in the same one, devote yourselves to doing good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So we really are encouraged, do things, faith and deeds, you go to get together. We're saved by faith, but if we're saved by faith, then the deeds, doing good will follow. Titus continues in verse 4 and 7, Titus 3, 4 and 7. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we've done, nothing that we've done. We can't do anything to earn our way into heaven and to eternal life. But it's because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And that washing, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and it's that rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit that will transform us, that we're changed, okay? And in Acts 2, Peter says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that's one of his gifts. Right? If we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's born again. Right? You're born again, born of the Spirit. And if we do that, we're a new creation. We have this new self. The old's been put off, put on the new. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and enduring word of God. Word and spirit. They're the two things that change it. Word and spirit. And I remember first time I heard that phrase, oh, we're a word and spirit church. And I wasn't quite sure what it meant, but I do now. The word and the spirit transform us. We are changed by that. John 3, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he told him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Straightforward. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again, born of water and of spirit. And Paul's already mentioned the ABCs. That's the core. That is the core. If you admit that you're a sinner, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Saviour, and call upon his name, we're saved. Right? Jesus put it much more simply. He says, repent or perish. Right? Repent or perish, he said. And I just wanted to look at the gifts that are available. Right? And they're there to receive. God, a gift by itself, we don't have to do anything. It's a gift. It's given. It's freely given. All we have to do is receive with open hands, open hearts, open minds. And look at some of the gifts that are available. If you turn with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, we're going to look at first. And the heading for this is spiritual blessings in Christ. Right? Spiritual blessings in Christ. Because it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. We know that. But it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all because of him. It's all through him that we are adopted. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be adopted into God's family. And we are adopted. We are adopted. Yeah. It says, to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Jesus, the voice of God spoke when Jesus was baptized. He said, this is my beloved son. He's the one he loves. And it's through him, as it continues in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, we're redeemed, the forgiveness of sins, we're forgiven, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. It's there. With all wisdom and understanding, more gifts, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, which is coming. To be put into effect, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, right? Even Christ. Christ is the head. Christ is the head. We are the body, the church, but Christ is the head. He's the one that's in charge. Verse 11 continues, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also, and this is the bit I also want to concentrate on, we also were included with Christ when you heard the word of truth, right? The gospel of your salvation. That's why we preach the gospel. It's the word of truth, and it's the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So we are included with Christ. when we heard the word of truth, when we heard that gospel. And the question that you have to think back, if you believe in Jesus, when did you believe? What was that point? What was that point when you realized that you'd heard, what you heard was the word of truth? It may have been sudden, may have been a longer process, because sometimes it takes a while for, if you're anything like me, I have to go over things several times before they sink in. So it may have been sudden, it may have been slower. That word of truth, that point, that epiphany, that realization. The Bible, in the parable of the lost son, so it talks about he came to his senses. That point when he came to your senses. Yeah, that's the point when you truly believed and you turn to God. Metanoia, you come back, you repent. And once you've done that, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal. Now, a seal, that I believe the seal they're talking about is like on a letter where it's bump, a seal, a stamp of ownership. It's that's the seal, the stamp of ownership, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 2, early on, that's the day of Pentecost. It's talking about the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:38, Peter was talking to the crowd, and they were cut to the heart, it says. They suddenly realized, oh, what is Peter saying? That, what he's saying, is actually true. Jesus is the Messiah. And they suddenly realized, they were cut to the heart, that sudden realization when they heard the word of truth and received it, because that's the key, you must receive it. They said, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we've just read there, it's in verse 14, he's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And our inheritance, we're adopted, is eternal life. That's our inheritance. Yeah? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. And if we carry on in Ephesians 1, we'll stick with that for a minute. The subheading again is thanksgiving and prayer in this one. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give. It's another gift. Wisdom, revelation. So that you may know him better. Seek first the kingdom of God. God wants us to know him better. And through his Holy Spirit, we can have that revelation, have that wisdom. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I didn't know my heart had eyes, but it does. Right? It's not the physical heart. He's talking about our centre, what really makes us who we are. Right? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Believe. Yeah? The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's done it. Yeah? And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion. And every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body and fullness of him who fills everything in every way. They're the spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. If we allow the Spirit of God to give us wisdom, revelation, to know him better, to open our hearts so that the eyes of our hearts are enlightened, to know the hope and the riches of his glorious inheritance that the saints, the believers, we can have with Jesus as the head of the body. They're just some of the spiritual blessings that we can receive. And as a result, we're changed. We become a different person. We are transformed. We're made alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. Ephesians 2, that's the heading. Alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. And if you just stick with me with this one. In Ephesians 2, verse 11. Verse 1. As for you, And this applies to all of us. At one point, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's the devil. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, or wrath, depending on your pronunciation. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Christ died whilst we were still sinners. He died for us whilst we were still sinners. And it's by grace. It is by grace we are saved. Nothing we can do. And God raised us up with Christ, seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Seated us, sorry. In order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So I'm glad Paul talked about faith this morning, because that's what it is. It's through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Because of his great love for us, and because he's so rich in mercy, that we are made alive in Christ. Yes, we were dead in our transgressions, but we've been saved. And we are now created in Christ Jesus. Now, that created is like a work of art. Well, you are a work of art. I don't know if you... Yeah, I don't feel like it sometimes, but you are all works of art. You're created. We are God's craftsmanship to do good works, doing good. We're called to do good. Love your neighbour as yourself. We're called to do good. And if we are like that, if we are made alive in Christ, if we're one with Christ, Ephesians 2 carries on. I don't read it all, but in verse 13 it says that now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus has done it all. It's all about Jesus. We've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And verse 18 says, for through him, we both have access. The both it's talking about is Jews and Gentiles, that now, because of Jesus, what Jesus has done, the Jews and Gentiles can come together and be one in Christ. Not separate. This is what the Jews believe, this is what the Gentiles believe. They can come one. But now we're through the cross, so we're included in that. For through him, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. One Spirit. And then there's that section, 19 to 22. If you read it with me, it says, consequently, Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. Right? We may be different races, different nationalities, come from different countries, different characters. It doesn't matter. We're all one. We are all one. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations and of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as himself as the chief cornerstone. That last song we were singing, Christ alone, cornerstone, that's what he is. He is that cornerstone. Everything is based and grounded on him. He gives us true alignment. He gives the depth, the solidity. Everything's built around it. It's all based on him. He is the true cornerstone. And we are alive in Christ because of that. Verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's how we're alive in Christ. It's by his Spirit in us, in which God lives by his Spirit. And if that's the case, we need to live with the Spirit in us. Now, when you believe, the Spirit of God is with you. Right? But then we've got to receive. We've got to keep receiving that Spirit of God. We've got to allow it to build in our lives. Right? And if you turn with me to Romans, there's a Romans 8, the chapter in Romans 8, verse 1, it says, life through the Spirit. life through the Spirit. And it starts off with, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned. We're saved. We're forgiven. We are not going to be condemned. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We were under that curse, dead in our transgressions. But we've been set free from that curse of sin, which is death, because of the Spirit of life that set us free through Jesus Christ. What the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But it's good news. We're not condemned. If we believe, we're not condemned. We are forgiven. And that mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And it's through Jesus. And the verses 9 to 11 are the key ones. It says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, we, however, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, because our physical bodies will die. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Through his Spirit, Christ in us. We're made righteous because of what Jesus has done. We're not condemned. Our spirit is alive because of that righteousness. And as I said, our body is dead because of sin, physical death. We will experience that. But that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give us life. It's that same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us life. By that same Spirit, and that hallmark, that seal, that evidence is the Spirit-controlled life. Our life is controlled by the Spirit. Sorry. And as a result of that ABC, verse 12 says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, this is the one, are sons of God. Yeah? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. So we're sons of God, we have sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We're adopted, it says in Ephesians 1. So Abba, Father. That means Abba is the equivalent of saying Daddy. It's that loving Father. Daddy. Abba, Father. We can call God Daddy. I don't know about you. I just can't wait to hold his hand and say, Daddy. Daddy. And it's all because of Jesus, what Jesus has done. Yeah. The Spirit himself, it carries on, 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. He puts us on the same level as Jesus. How awesome is that? And if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And Christ has set us free. He's redeemed us. He's set us free. Galatians 5, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But then we've got to hold on to that. It says, stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again. So we can't go back by a yoke of slavery, because we once were the slaves to sin. And it carries on in Galatians. It says, so I say, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we need to have that Holy Spirit guiding us, counselling us, that quiet, still quiet voice that tells us, no, do this, don't do that, to be in there, to let discernment, to let all these gifts of the Spirit be possible. But the result of being led by the Spirit of God, being filled by the Spirit, is we are transformed. We are transformed, we become different people. Right? There may be elements of us, because we are unique, we've got our own personality, our own character, but there are things that will develop, and that's called the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. They're all good. They're all very, very good. So if you've got those characteristics, you can't help but do good to people. Right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Don't let it go. Keep there. Keep with Him. Keep with the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Those characteristics, that's what God wants. God wants our character more than anything else. He wants us to be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. Becoming a bit more like Jesus every day. Just a little bit more. If we can, a bit more. And do good to all. Galatians carries on. It says, doing good to all. It says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. So don't think God's not watching. He knows. He understands. But it carries on. And it says to us there, it says, a man reaps what he sows. Right? You'll get back what you put into it. Right? The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. That's our inheritance. But we have to do it through Him, not through us. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, but to all people. Because once we believe, once we receive from God, those gifts, we're changed, we're transformed. And in Romans 8, it describes us as being more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And if you've got your Bibles, if you just turn with me to that bit there. It's verse 28. More than conquerors. And it starts off with that wonderful scripture. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Jesus is full of the Spirit in all its fullness. He was full of love, joy, peace, patience, and all the other ones. We're being conformed to that, to the likeness of His Son. So that He might be the first one among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now, we're justified by our faith in Jesus. Right? So once we're called, once we believe, we're justified. Right? And then God will glorify us. In between, there's a little space, justified to glorified. And that's what we're in now. Right? And that's called being sanctified. We're being changed. We're being transformed from one degree of glory into another. We're changing bit by bit. And sometimes it can be painful. Sometimes it can bring us to our knees. Sometimes it can fill us with joy. But we're being transformed. But we know that there's something beyond it, beyond what we've got now. There's something beyond that. And we're being conformed to the likeness of Him. Right? It carries on. And those He predestined, He also called justified. Sorry, 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, we've just been singing this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? So when I listed those gifts, there's more. There's more. All things. Give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Yeah. Who is he that who is the one that condemns? It's not God. It's God who justifies. Yeah. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God. They're the three, just three things that we're not condemned. Right? Jesus died for us. He was raised from dead so that we can be raised again. And he's there at the right hand of God interceding for us now. He's on our side. He's on our side. And he's also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Now, I don't wish any of that on people. But if it does come, God's still bigger than all those things. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, right? Through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I think as one song says, absolutely nothing, right, can separate us. Who, what shall separate us from the Lord? Absolutely nothing. Doesn't matter whether life or death. Doesn't matter. That won't separate us. Right? Angels or demons, they won't separate us from God. What's happened in your past won't stop you from meeting God. Some people think, oh, I can't do that, I'm too bad. No. What happens in the future won't separate us from God. Right? Because he's there, he's bigger than all of that, he's beyond all of that. Any other powers, height or depth, doesn't matter where you go, nothing. You can't escape from God. Can't escape from it. We don't want to escape from it. Right? But anything else, nothing, absolutely nothing will stop you. Nothing will separate us. But we do have to receive. The only thing that will separate us is if we reject. Because obviously the opposite of receiving is rejecting. No, I don't want that. That's what a lot of people in the world do. No, I don't want that. I'm happy doing this. If we reject Jesus, if we reject our salvation, if we reject his gifts, I don't know why anybody would do that. Once you know the truth, right, that word of truth, once you know the truth, why would anyone know that truth and say, oh no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I've got a list here of re's. Where are they? Rebirth, renewal, reborn, redeemed, refreshed, revived, restored, released. Would you want to miss out on all of those? I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't. I don't want to miss out on those. So we need to accept that word of truth. Why people reject it, I can't understand. Once that realization, once we know we have a redeemer, once we know we've justified, why would you reject? But it comes right back down in the program, those last two verses that are in the January program. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And that's what we have to do. We have to look beyond the picture now. We have to put our spiritual spectacles on. Yeah? We do. For what is seen won't last. It's temporary. I can't picture it, but if you can imagine the equator that goes round the world, right? 24,000 miles all the way around. Right? And if you imagine that equator, that was all eternity, right? We are less than a hair's breadth on that equator. But in reality, that line doesn't end. It just gives you some idea. So what we're living in now is it's so infinitely small compared to the rest of eternity. We can't concentrate on what's here now. We live in it, I agree. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. Right? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Okay? And we don't see the Holy Spirit. We can feel him, we can have him dwelling in us, but we don't see him. We don't see Jesus yet. We might do. He's coming back sometime. But we've got to fix our eyes on him. Right? And then that last verse, Romans 14:17. Sorry for the misprint. Yeah, I'll put Romans 14:7 in the program. But it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking," which it isn't, "but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And that quite rightly is, don't eat and do things that might upset people. That's fine. But there's more to it than that. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." So forget, wipe that back out the business. For the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. We could even get that. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. That's what it boils down to. Yes, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, but the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the Holy Trinity, God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we're called to seek first his kingdom. Now, putting it together, you go, well, if the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit and we're called to seek first his kingdom, you seek those two together. Seek his Holy Spirit. And so seek first. We break that fallow ground. We need to keep washed, keep clean every day. If you need to come back to God every day, I do, then come back to him. Get yourself washed. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He says, you're clean, just your feet get dirty. So he washed his disciples' feet. Keeping the word. The word will guide us, counsel us, put us on the right track. Put us on the right track. Keep praising, keep singing, dancing, wherever you are. Get some praise going. Get some praise going. If you're in the car, if you're walking down the street, just do it. Yeah? Sometimes I'm on my own in the forest with the dog, and if anybody ever sees me, they'll think there's a nutter over there. Yeah? He's going through, arms up, singing away, and the dog's used to it by now. She just sniffs around as though he's off again. Yeah? But just do it. Just do it. Keep praising, keep singing, and keep praying. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled by the Spirit." Be filled by the Spirit. It is crucial, because that Spirit, Holy Spirit, will empower, equip, fulfill our commission. Now, we've all got a commission. Now, there's the Great Commission, which is for all of us. We've all got, but our commission, and I believe that our commission as a body of believers, as a church, and as an individual, is very unique. It's unique to you personally. Only you can fulfill your commission. Right? So it's no good saying, oh, somebody else will do that. No, we've got our own commission, our very own. Wherever we are, whatever we do, we do that. And Ephesians 3 tells us that the eternal purpose of God, is the church. Right? It's that the church, the body of believers, will make known his wisdom, his love, his power, how awesome God is. But he's done it already, accomplished in Christ Jesus. It's done. Right? And our job is to make that known. To make that known. And in him, Jesus, that is, in him, and Christ in us, and through Jesus, because we're washed by his blood, we're cleansed, and through the Holy Spirit that raises our mortal body, we may approach God. It says we can approach God, we can draw near to God. Right? And with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence. There's that wonderful song, I Can Only Imagine. It's been turned into a film. I haven't seen the film yet. But I need to get it, that film, and find it. But I can't imagine what it's like. But it does say, it says, do it with freedom and confidence. Because we're saved. Right? We're not condemned. Right? And that confidence we can come, how awesome that is. It's fantastic. That by God's love, mercy and grace, through Jesus, through his Son, he's done this for us. So just receive those gifts of God. Receive his word. Receive his Son. Let it come into your heart, into your mind. Open the eyes of your heart. Lovely phrase. Open the eyes of your heart. Be filled by the Spirit. And I just want to close in prayer. So if you join with me, bow your heads. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for your amazing love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you would give your one and only Son as an atonement for our sins. And by his blood, Lord, we know that we are cleansed from our sins. Lord, just help us to receive all your wonderful gifts freely given, even though we know we don't deserve them. Lord, just help us to live by your word. Help us to praise you with our spirit, in spirit and truth. And pray to you continually to love one another and all our neighbours, doing good where we can. And if you haven't yet truly believed, just receive the truth. Do the ABCs and you will receive the gifts of God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for that gift poured out so that we can be equipped and empowered and lead us in that life controlled by you, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we do thank you for your word. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And deliver us from the evil one, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord. And Father God, Abba Father, help us to make known this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ our Saviour, and the rebirth and renewal through your Holy Spirit. Fill us, we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you.